Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, second class, October 27th, 2024, Romans.
One prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we are up to point four of the doctrine of the filling of the Spirit. Point four. And this is the scriptures that are related to spirituality or the filling of the Spirit. And there are four of these. Two are on the positive side, two are on the negative side. The two scriptures on the positive side are commands, imperative mood. They're mandates. They're not an option. They are mandates for each one of us as royal family of God. Ephesians 5:18, keep on being pleroed, empowered by the Spirit. So that's a command for each one of us. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Just keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, another imperative mood command. This is the mandate. Keep on walking. That is, keep on living your life by the agency of the Spirit. Those are the two scriptures on the positive side. And there are two scriptures on the negative side, prohibitions. These are prohibitions, negative commands. Ephesians 4:30, stop grieving the Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5:19, stop quenching the Spirit. So we have positive mandates and negative prohibitions. Point five. The filling of the Holy Spirit is related to spirituality, spiritual growth, and victory over the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. The filling of the Spirit is related to spirituality, spiritual growth, and victory over the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. And I am going back. I want you to turn to 2 Peter 1, 2 through 11. This is absolutely one of the great, great passages. And I taught this. And I want you to, you're going to hear the corrected translation. It's fantastic. The filling of the Spirit is related to spirituality, spiritual growth, and victory over the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2. May grace and peace be multiplied to you by means of the epinosis doctrine, completed knowledge about God, God the Father, and about Jesus our Lord. Because His divine power has freely and graciously given to us in the past with the result that we keep on having it for our benefit now, everything pertaining to life, our time here in phase two, even your spiritual life by means of, again, the epinosis knowledge of the one who elected us to privilege, God the Father, to his own glory and virtue. Verse 4, by means of which things God's own glory and power he has graciously given to us his extremely valuable and magnificent promises, in order that by means of these extremely valuable and magnificent promises, you might become something you were not before, namely partners in the divine nature, having escaped from the degeneracy in the cosmic system caused by the lust patterns of the sin nature. Verse 5. And now, for this very reason, having made every effort by means of your faith, learning and believing the Word of God and having it in your heart, supply a chorus of virtues. That's the best way to translate. A chorus of virtues. And these are the virtues of Christ. Now with virtue, knowledge, the mind of Christ. Now with knowledge, the mind of Christ, self-discipline, self-control. Now with self-discipline, perseverance, endurance, fortitude. Now with perseverance, godliness, and that's the Greek word elsebeia, that's the spiritual life, the spiritual life. Now with the spiritual life, love for the royal family of God. And now with love for the royal family of God, virtue love, for including personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. For if you possess these things, if you possess these virtues of Christ, and if they keep on increasing through consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, then they will keep you from becoming a useless and unproductive believer, a loser believer, because of the epinosis knowledge, the Word of God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. For the one who does not have them, for the one, the believer who does not have these virtues of Christ given in verses 5 through 7, is so nearsighted that he is spiritually blind, having forgotten his cleansing from his past sins. And for this reason, to a greater degree, brethren, royal family of God, make an all-out effort to keep on making your calling, divine invitation, and election to privilege a spiritual reality. If you keep on accomplishing these mandates, then you will never fall into reversionism, crash and burn. Yes, indeed, in conclusion, the admission into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be supplied abundantly, richly, with a chorus, with a chorus of blessings for you. Hoo-ah. That's a great, great passage. 8.6. The righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic Law is fulfilled by the church age believer who lives the spiritual life, who walks by the Spirit and not by the sin nature. That's our verse, Romans 8:4. The righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic Law is fulfilled by the church age believer who walks by the Spirit and not by the sin nature, Romans 8:4. The ones who do not walk live according to the sin nature, but who walk and live according to the Spirit, filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit. So, amplifying that, subpoint one, the Mosaic Law demands perfect righteousness. Believing in Christ provides for us this requirement of the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law demands perfect righteousness, and believing in Jesus Christ provides for us this requirement of the Mosaic Law. Subpoint two, therefore, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 10, verse 4. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes in Christ. Faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Subpoint three, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. That's Galatians 5:16. If you walk or live your life by the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, teaching ministry of the Spirit, you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Galatians 5:16. Subpoint four, if you are led by the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, you are not under the Mosaic Law. Galatians 5:18. If you are led by the Spirit, filling of the Spirit, you are not under the Mosaic Law. Galatians 5:18. Now that brings us to point seven, the results of the filling of the Spirit. The results of the filling of the Spirit. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit. How great is that? Galatians 5:22 and 23. The result of the filling of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So when you are living by the power of God the Holy Spirit, you're in fellowship, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is producing this in you and through you. Now you start out as a baby believer, it's produced a little bit, but even that little bit is seen by everyone around you. But as you grow up to adolescence and spiritual maturity, then it's manifested to the maximum. And that's where you have phenomenal, visible impact on everyone around you, on the world, on angels and on man. They see the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's virtue love. And everything else provided in this passage are characteristics of virtue love, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. So the first one, virtue love, and the rest of them are characteristics of virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, virtue love, love, joy, happiness, love, joy, peace, inner peace, peace beyond all human understanding, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's produced in you and through you. So the result of the filling of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Secondly, Christ is magnified in the inner life, and he is manifested to others. It manifested to others. This is the testimony of your life. that you are a letter of Christ. And that's 2 Corinthians 3:3, and we could turn over there and look at that again. Second Corinthians 3:3. You see, you have the witness of your lips in giving the grace gospel. And again, we have our evangelism team going to Child Haven this Saturday, and they will be giving the witness of the lips and giving the grace gospel to the kids and to the staff. But you also have the witness of the life. And that's what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing here in 2 Corinthians 3:3. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. This is the witness of the life. And when you are filled with the Spirit and living the spiritual life by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, you have the witness of your life. Your life is the letter of Christ to everyone around you. Fantastic, visible impact. Subpoint three. The filling of the Spirit will strengthen you with power in the inner man so that Christ makes himself at home in your heart. The result of the Spirit is it will strengthen you with power in the inner man so that Christ makes himself at home in your heart. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. Now how? That he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, through God the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, through the faith of the Word of God. Subpoint four. Christ is exalted in your body, and whether by living or by dying. We have two phases while we're here. We're not here that long here on planet Earth. We're here a very short time, but there's a living phase and a dying phase. And we're here to glorify God in the living phase, and we're here to glorify God in the dying phase. And the winner believer does that. Whether he's in the winning phase or dying phase, he glorifies God to the maximum. And that was what the Apostle Paul was teaching in Philippians 1. So turn over to Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Let's, in fact, we start at the end of verse 18. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, happiness, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I have, according to my intense concentration and confidence, that I will in no way be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life, the living phase, or by death, the dying phase. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is profit. The Apostle Paul glorified God to the maximum in the living phase of his life, and he glorified God to the maximum in the dying phase of his life. And he didn't die of old age. He was arrested, put in prison, brought forward. His crime, the Apostle Paul's crime, he was a Christian. He was a Christian who proclaimed the grace and truth of the Word of God. He was a Christian. He was the greatest believer on the face of the earth. And he didn't die of old age. He didn't die of disease. He was brought out and decapitated, executed. His head came off, and his soul and spirit went face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he glorified God in the living phase of his life. And you know, many times I thought, I wish I could have been there and watched Paul, because Paul walked in. He knew what was going to happen. He didn't come in crying. He wasn't shouting, "This isn't fair. This isn't fair." No, he walked in happy. He walked in perfect happiness. Great inner peace, great happiness. And they put him head and hands in, and he had perfect happiness and peace. And I would like to have been there. I wonder what was going through the executioners, the Roman executioners, to see, because they already knew about this guy, Paul. They already knew. And he had something they did not have. He was happy in living, and he was happy in dying. And the axe came down, his head came off, and he was face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. He glorified God in living, he glorified God in dying. And that's what every winner believer does. Every winner believer glorifies God in the living phase of his life, glorifies God in the dying phase of his life. That's a result. Christ is exalted in your body, whether in the living phase or the dying phase. Philippians 1, 19 and 21. 5. The filling of the Spirit is the basis for learning, believing, and applying the Word of God to your life. The filling of the Spirit is the basis for learning, believing, and applying the Word of God to your life. We saw it in John 14, 26. We saw it in John 16, 12 to 14. But turn over to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, great passage. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, let's start at verse 9. However, as it is written, and this is quoting Isaiah 64, verse 4, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, the cosmic system, But the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we communicate, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truth to a spiritual apparatus. 1 Corinthians 2:9-14. Well, that's five of the results of the filling of the Spirit, but that's only halfway. So we're going to pick it up at this point next time, the results of the filling of the Spirit, and keep on keeping on this great chapter that puts the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.